Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The high cost of housing in Greater Boston poses a huge challenge for the city's youngest adults. So-called millennials, people aged 20 to 34, comprise a third of Boston's population, the highest proportion of any major U.S. city, according to the mayor's office.
And most of them are short on savings, loaded with student debt, and here in Boston, they face some of the highest housing prices in the country. That means they're waiting longer to buy real estate. And while they wait, they're paying rents that eat up as much as a third of their income. So, what can be done to try to ease the housing crunch on the growing millennial population?
In a moment, we'll talk to a Harvard researcher who studies this challenge. But first, let's hear about a new program in Rhode Island that actually offers college graduates up to $7,000 toward a down payment on a house there. Ocean State Grad Grants make it easier for some to afford a house and provide an incentive to stay and work in Rhode Island. Joining us now is the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo, and welcome to Radio Boston, Governor. Good to have you.
Hi, good afternoon. Good to be with you.
So tell us how this program works.
Right. So this program, Ocean State Grad Grants, is one of a whole package of programs we have designed specifically to attract and retain young people. This particular program awards grants for mortgage down payments for recent college grads. I think it's up to $7,000. And it's for young people who are, like I said, recent college grads or master's graduates who buy a home in Rhode Island and live in that home for 5 years. And then over that time, it's like a forgivable second mortgage, if you will.
I see.
And if they're still here at the end of 5 years, then it's a $7,000 grant. It's really just an incentive to, you know, help young people to stay in Rhode Island.
An incentive to help keep young adults living and working in Rhode Island. So, of course, that helps the state economy. But the program also acknowledges the challenge of buying a home, right?
Absolutely. I mean, young people today are coming out of school with more college debt than ever. And if on top of that, if they want to try to settle down and buy a home, home prices are high. I will, though, put in a plug for Providence because it's much more affordable to live in Providence than Boston. So if there's any young people listening, they ought to come check out the Great Ocean State. But, you know, even here, it's a struggle. So we want to help young folks to set down roots in Rhode Island, you know,
right,
buy a house here, get a job here, become part of the community.
Well, Governor, let me ask you about sort of how big this program is or how small it is. You've allocated about $350,000 for this particular program, so that's only going to help a few dozen people. Is that enough to make a difference, or are you hoping that you can expand this program?
Right. This is a pilot program, if you will. So we've just started it. We want to advertise it and see what the uptake is, see if it works. I'm a big believer that first you want to see if a program works, measure the results before you pour a lot of taxpayer dollars into it. So, of course, we're hopeful it will be successful, and then we'd like to expand the program.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, we're going to be talking in a minute about the high cost of housing up here in Boston, how that poses a particular challenge for young adults who might be just entering the housing market. What else, as a governor, what else can government do to help them to make this easier?
Well, I've also rolled out a program which we call the Wavemaker Fellowship. It's a student loan forgiveness program, and we're going to be paying back student loans for 4 years for young people who pursue a career in Rhode Island in technology, engineering, and design. So, again, this is just a way you could imagine for a young person if they wanted to combine our student loan forgiveness program with our program to help them buy a home. You know, this is real money. This is thousands of dollars for a young person who's just starting out. These are the two biggest debts that young people have, right? Student loans and housing mortgages. So I think it's compelling. I mean, what I would say if there's a young person in Boston who finds it too expensive, live in Providence and take the train to Boston. cheaper here. It's a funky culture. And, you know, take advantage of one of these programs.
Got to say, I worked not long ago in the city of Providence. It's a very nice city, even though I hear what you're trying to do, Governor, sort of poach some of our promising adults from young adults from Boston. But sounds like an interesting...
Well, you know, it's my job. You can't blame me for trying.
No, I'm not blaming you at all. Governor Gina Raimondo of Rhode Island, thanks so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right. So that's one approach to help young adults tackle the high cost of housing. Would it work here in Massachusetts? Would it help at all? Listeners, we want to hear from you on this, especially if you're a younger adult looking to own a house in Greater Boston. Are the high prices keeping you out of the market? Are they driving you out of the city? Maybe you're heading to Providence after hearing from Governor Raimondo. Do you want to even own a house at all? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now is Ethan Foss. He's a sociologist at Harvard University who studies the millennial generation, their needs, where they live, and where they're moving. And Ethan Foss, welcome to the program. It's good to have you.
Great. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. First of all, give us your reaction to what you heard Governor Raimondo talking about there with this grant program. Is this a good way to keep people in the state and to help folks with a high cost of housing?
The first point I would say is that the Ocean State Grad Grant Program, it is primarily a policy designed to help Rhode Island with its problems rather than to help millennials directly. That's because Rhode Island has this problem of keeping college-educated young people in the state. They tend to go to other areas, such as Boston and New York. Deeper than that, there are several problems with this policy. There was a similar program implemented in Ohio, and we find that that program in Ohio, it tended to benefit mostly wealthy kids. So that program, which similarly gave grants to college-educated young people in order to keep them in Ohio, that program tended to benefit wealthy kids. It tended to benefit white kids, so about 83% were white. Not only that, the average credit score was 710, well above the average for millennials, which is 628. So my concern here is that this kind of program is, in effect, a subsidy that helps those who are a little bit more advantaged among millennials, and it's not really addressing the core problems of millennials, which has to do with stagnant wages, job insecurity, and high college costs.
All right, I got it. Ethan Fossey, and forgive me for mispronouncing your name when I introduced you. It's Ethan Fossey, not Foss. But what about a program that was a similar program that was tailored in a more progressive way, say one that took into account need? If a program was like that, could be scaled up, wouldn't that help young adults afford housing?
Well, there are two issues with that. First of all, do young people really want housing? We know from survey data that millennials are eschewing cars, they're eschewing high-priced fashion items. There are cultural changes. When it comes to housing, you see that, you know, I've collected some data on this myself. Find about two-thirds of millennials do want some kind of house or apartment or condo that is their own, that they own. However, if you look over time, there is a weakening of support. You know, they want it, but not as much as previous cohorts. So on the one side, I would say, well, is this what millennials want? A second issue has to do with, do we really want to saddle the most indebted generation in history with more debt?
Interesting.
Why don't we cut the debt they already have? So what I propose is that we end the mortgage interest tax deduction, which is in effect a highly regressive tax policy. It's a subsidy to those who are already well off. And this would save about $100 billion each year. And we use that money directly for debt forgiveness for millennials, the debt they already have. As well, we could give them grants to help them start their own businesses.
Wow. There's a lot in what you just said that I want to talk to you about. I mean, first of all, I want to get to this idea about doing away with a mortgage interest tax deduction, because I could just imagine the sort of shrieks of protest coming from political quarters around that proposal. But before I get to that, the first part of what you said I want to ask you about, this idea that only two-thirds of millennials, according to your research, you know, really want to buy into the housing market. Does that represent a kind of shift from previous generations? And if so, what explains that?
There is not that much of a shift when you ask young people, do you want a house? Do you want to own a house? It's about two-thirds, and survey data for young people show that this is pretty much the same if you go back 10, 20, 30 years. There's not much of a change. Hmm. However, the importance that they attach to having a house has declined. So, for example, among the 70% in a recent survey that say they want to own a house, only about 40% actually say that they really want that. The other 30%, they're a little bit – it's really weak support for owning a house. And this is consistent with a long line of literature that millennials growing up in the age of the internet, in some sense, have a different conception of what it means to own something. You know, this is the music file sharing generation. This is the generation which copyright law means something entirely different. In that way, ownership means something different. What does it mean to own a car? Well, you own it temporarily. Hmm. And so you see this with housing, that this weakening support for owning a house is a generational shift, not as much as, say, for cars or other goods. But it is a real shift across cohorts.
Really interesting. Listeners, we're talking about millennials and how to afford housing, particularly here in the greater Boston area, which has some of the highest housing costs in the country. With me is Ethan Fossey. He's a sociologist at Harvard University. He studies the millennial generation and where they want to live. We'd like to hear from you at 800-423-8255. So, Ethan, if I can, let's take a couple of calls and see what our listeners are interested in talking about. Catherine is calling from Somerville. Hi, Catherine. You're on the air.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, a couple things. We've gone in a bunch of different directions with this conversation. I guess maybe the first place to go, I thought the grants for millennials in Rhode Island was interesting. I think even more interesting is that those grants and those allowances and the debt forgiveness are for people in the science and tech fields. I'm in the humanities field. I have a friend who's in the humanities field. She just moved to Rhode Island and was hoping to get a teaching job there, and there weren't opportunities for her. So now she lives in Rhode Island and still commutes to Boston.
Hmm. Right. All right, Catherine. Well, Ethan Fossey, I don't know if you want to respond to anything that Catherine is saying there, but I mean, this is another limitation, perhaps, about the Rhode Island program that we were talking to the governor about.
Yes, it is. One thing to consider is that what Rhode Island is trying to do is benefit Rhode Island. So one way to do that is to attract young people who are college educated. This program is not for millennials as a whole. It's mm-hmm. for those millennials who are fortunate enough to have gone to college. So the idea is that if you attract millennials who are educated into Rhode Island, that this will help the economy, in essence, promote job growth. Yet maybe millennials are not moving to Rhode Island precisely because there are no jobs. So incentivizing them to go to Rhode Island and dig roots into Rhode Island might be completely counterproductive because they can't find jobs and they've taken on additional housing debt.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's go to Anna, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. Anna, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Great.
I just wanted to dispute Dr. Fossey's assessment of why millennials say that they're not interested in housing. I think there's a tendency that I've heard over and over again to see this as a cultural shift that has to do with changing conceptions of ownership. And while I think that those are there, and I think they actually have a lot of value for our society, I do think that there are serious economic pressures. I'm a millennial. I do own a home in Boston, which is only possible because of some very generous in-laws. But most of my friends don't, and most of them would love to own a home, and it just feels completely out of reach and impossible. So why continue to aspire and place great importance on something that is going to basically not be in the works for you and most of your friends?
Anna, interesting idea. Ethan Fossey, respond to Anna.
I want to clarify what I found in terms of housing preferences for young people. it's part of it's cultural, but the caller is absolutely correct that if you look at the big ticket items, some of them are driven more by culture. Some of them are driven more by economic necessity. So millennials are avoiding cars, and the surveys and the buying behaviors really suggest that this is a cultural shift. Cars do not have that status. It's not, you know, it's not important to have a car to be cool. In fact, it's sometimes seen as a burden among young people. However, housing is primarily driven by economic need. There is a cultural component, you know, but I would say, you know, 70% of millennials wanting a house, that's consistent with 10, 20, 30 years ago. So even though the cultural preference is a little bit weaker, when millennials are asked why they aren't purchasing houses, and 24% of millennials, in fact, own a house, so it's a small fraction. And when you ask them why they don't own a house, they report economic concerns. They report college debt, low wages, and job insecurity. They're not, it's not entirely clear that they will stay in the same location since they don't have a long-term labor contract. So the caller's correct. It's out of all the cultural and economic reasons for millennial behavior, housing is really primarily driven by economics.
Interesting. All right, let's go to Matt, who's calling from Medford. Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Great.
I'm going to call. So I'm in an interesting position. I'm a 34-year-old, so I barely made it into this millennial conversation.
That's okay. We'll let you in. We're glad to have you, Matt.
And I appreciate it. You know, I like to feel young sometimes. But my wife, I'm a physical therapist. We have a one-year-old, my wife and I, and she's a postdoc at Harvard. She's been offered a position here, assistant professor, which is very exciting. But as a couple, we've looked at the housing market for the last year, and we realized this is just insane. Like, you go to all different areas around the city, and the numbers just are insane. And yep. You look at them, and you're like, you want me to pay $600,000 for this house? I need the $100,000 to put in. And you're like, I can't even afford that in the first place.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. It's gotten, we're all basically saying we should just move and go somewhere else. So she's in the process of maybe saying no to Harvard, for God's sake, because we're like, we just can't afford to have a family here.
Matt, it's a troubling story, and one that I know is shared by a lot of people here. But Ethan Fossey, I have a question, and it sort of bounces right off of Matt's story in about the minute we have left. And that is there an upside to what's happening from this perspective? In other words, maybe millennials can benefit from not, or some millennials cannot benefit from not going further into debt in order to own a home. And I'm curious what we know about home ownership rates in other countries and how that correlates with living standards.
Yeah, that's a great question. There is an assumption that, especially among elites, policy elites, that home ownership is somehow inherently a virtue. However, there's almost no relationship across countries between the quality of life of a society and home ownership rates. So, for example, the countries with the lowest home ownership rates are Germany at 38%, Switzerland at a similar level. And the highest rates are in countries such as Greece and Ireland and Spain, which have suffered economic consequences in part because of housing. So there's no clear relationship that maybe we shouldn't be promoting homeownership. Maybe we should rethink what we want young people to pursue in life.
Well, really interesting idea to sort of end this conversation today. But Ethan Fossey, we want to have you back and continue this. He's a sociologist at Harvard, a researcher and lecturer in statistics. Thanks so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's a lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.